Welcome to Urban Forum Northwest with your host, Eddie Rye. We lost a valued person in our community a couple of weeks ago, the gentleman by the name of Dom Dudley, who was the owner of KYAC Radio, AM and FM. And we have got together a number of individuals who worked at KYAC, were involved with KYAC from 69 all the way until 1980. And I want to introduce Attorney Jesse Weinberry, Sr., Spencer Haywood, who did the Saturday Night Jazz program, Belty Johnson, who was the newscaster and station manager for 7 years, and Vivian Phillips started out as Secretary for Sales, ended up being one of the most popular DJs in the state doing her midday broadcast. And we got Ike Alexander on because he was a consumer of KYAC. So Jesse Weinberry started at KYAC when he was 18 years old, senior at Queen Anne High School. And Don Dudley gave him the microphone and allowed him to host Youth City Forum. But since Beltry is the person that has the history, I want to start with Beltry. And so Beltry, I want you to go ahead and give us your spiel on Don Dudley and KYAC. And I want to mention everybody that Don Dudley's funeral service will be Saturday, May 21st at 11 o'clock a.m. at the Holgate Street Church of Christ, which is on Holgate and Martin Luther King Jr. Way South. So Jesse Weinberry, I want you to go ahead and get started. Everybody will have about 2 or 3 minutes to introduce themselves, the time they were at KYAC. Then we'll deal with the more extensive questions and memories of your time at KYAC. And then lastly, we want each of you to do a tribute to Don Dudley. So start with Jesse Weinberry.
Yeah, thank you, Eddie. It's good to be here, even for what is not a good occasion, and that is to give the memories and departing words for Don Dudley. Don Dudley was like another father to me. I was at Queen Anne High School, and I was a quarterback, and it was my senior year, and I was at church on Sunday, and the sermon was so boring, I kept nodding off, and the usher kept waking me up, and I finally said, let me just get out of here, and I went and sat in my car, and I turned on the radio on KYAC. That's back then, pretty much all Black folks and a whole lot of white folks only listened to KYAC. And it was Sunday, and there was a show on that featured all the Black athletes who were in the CD in the Central District, but going to white schools. And you had James Edwards, you had Ronnie Hall, who went to Roosevelt, James Edwards went to Roosevelt, Keith Tenner, who went to Lincoln of Tacoma. And I was wondering, well, why wasn't I on this? So I called in just to participate, and they told me to come in. And I thought all this time that KYAC was somewhere in the hood. I think it used to be on Madison Street, so Beltry will get into that later. But at this time, it was actually located on Queen Anne Hill, right down the street from my high school. And so I went in. We had a great show talking about sports and discrimination and everything. And at the end, he let everybody else go. Don Dudley was the host. And he asked me to think about if I wanted to do, instead of a city forum show, a youth city forum specifically for Black youth in my generation. And he said, so go home and think about it. And I said, well, I don't need to go home. I thought about it and I want to do it. And the man himself, the owner of the station, hired me. And for the next 5 years, I host the youth city forum and just got to be in the element of Black music, Black news, Black culture. It changed my life. And this is a guy who just a leader in broadcasting and radio. He made sure we were always out there in the community. And I just can't say enough for the legacy of Don Dudley, particularly as it changed all of our lives. And I'll never forget how he changed mine.
Okay, Jesse, thank you very much for that. Now we want to go to Beltry Johnson, who probably is one of the most senior folks at KYAC.
I wanted to say it's good to be with you this afternoon, and hello to all of your distinguished guests. My experience began the 1st of January, 1970, the result of a employee work action, which took the station off the air. The then owner physically moved the facilities that were operational and functional as a business office at 1407 East Madison out of the community and relocated to Queen Anne Hill. Very interesting as regards the intent and the outreach of the station at that time. It was a business enterprise for sure, but it was servicing our community, not only with the entertainment aspects of things, but also with just the communication that are necessary for a community to function and sustain. And if I could just for a moment, Eddie, a little roll call to some of those individuals that put it on the line and left, walked out with that work stoppage. Joe Jones, for sure, who is the station manager. Lloyd Jones, Mickey Fry, Paul Cutchlow, Brother Harry Robinson, T. Alexander, and the great Robert L. Scott. These were all individuals that I had the opportunity to interact with and to work with. They were mentors. We all supported one another. There were several others. And of course, we owe all of our careers, the way that they were launched, Vivian included, to Frank P. Barrow, who was instrumental in setting the table and laying it out for us operationally, and then to show us how to do that, and then indeed to measure the difference that that made. That was our beginning to resolve our issues. Don Dudley was brought in to mediate, and several of us had a chance to continue on, which the magnetism of who he was and what he was about opened doors to opportunities and launched careers in a number of different directions. But we all started from that base and from the opportunity that he created through a limited partnership that afforded him immediate general managership of KYAC, and ultimately ownership for what happened for a successful run of activity and outreach and service to the community.
Thank you, Beltre. I just had one quick question. I want to make sure that the listeners are aware. You mentioned that there was a walkout. Can you for our listeners, to let them know exactly what that entailed?
Yes. The ownership of the radio station was white, and it was profit driven. And as is the case today, it was then, the majority of radio stations in this country that were programmed to Black communities, most of them were owned by white investors. At a point in time, the then group of individuals that I mentioned, plus others, Martin Wyatt, Mac McAllister, Perry Harper, among others, all laid it on the line and tried and sought redress for their concerns of not only wages, because it was, after all, a business enterprise, but also as regards outreach to the community. When that was unsuccessful, they were not satisfied with response, then we all walked a picket line out there on Madison in front of the 1407 location. That resulted in the transition physically out of the community to Queen Anne, where Jesse Weinberry joined with us, as did Spencer, most notably under Don's leadership and vision. I personally, as a news director at that point in time of my career, I was introduced and had the opportunity to bring in Lee Carter and Karen Denard and Obie Date and a certain lady named Darlene Deadline, also known as Vivian Phillips.
That's a real good one. So, Mr. Johnson, is that an introduction to the midday DJ, Miss Vivian Phillips?
Well, yes, but first, there were a number of things that she did, and I mean, we all contributed, but she was just ever busy. And one of the things she did that I surely want to punctuate is that she assisted me with my news duties and responsibilities, and we gave her the pseudonym Darlene Deadline. So without further ado, Darlene, good afternoon.
Oh, you make me laugh, don't you? You always make me laugh.
Good.
But I thank you so very much for that. And I just want to say that I think that one of the things that Veltri touched upon that is punctuated for me is the time that I started working at KYAC was not the time for women to be on the air in the daytime. So I had to pay a lot of dues. I had to go get my radio telephone operator's license so that I could do the calibration in the studio. I had to learn how to help Veltri put his newscast together, had to learn how continuity worked in radio, how sales worked in radio. And it all benefited me in such a great way in my forever career. I think that it's interesting to me that most people don't recognize that I was only on air for 3 years. I mean, all these other legends that you have mentioned had very long careers on radio, but I was only on for 3 years after Robert L. Scott came to KYAC from KJR, and he decided to hire me and more, I might add. If you all know or remember that, God rest his soul, Robert and I were married. But I think the one thing that I do want to also say is that Don Dudley was an entity beyond radio as well. I mean, I remember him from Black Front, which was a co-op in the Black community where we could go and shop and feel comfortable shopping. But I'm also very pleased that I got a chance to spend some time with Don and share with him my gratitude for the struggle that he fought to just own and keep a Black radio station. I think we've talked about the fact that he was one of the only Black owners in a landscape across this country of more than 8,000 Black radio, Black music program radio stations. And that was a hard fought battle, especially when around 1980s, radio became very syndicated. And so you had one person sitting in a studio in Los Angeles at Westwood One, and they're doing the intros for all of these different radio stations, and it just gets passed out into the universe. And that killed Black radio for the most part. But I also want to say as well, Eddie, that what I hope people take from this is the significance that Black radio held and holds in community organizing. Had it not been for KYAC, where you could get the latest news, right? You could get the pulse of the community. We would not have been able to do some of the things that you too, Eddie, of course, are responsible for, the renaming of Empire Way. You know, it's just, it's so many of those kind of basic things that Black radio is essential to stimulating and moving forward. And so when we see this lack of cohesion across Black communities, across the country, I think if we look back and look at what their grounding might be, if in fact there is a Black radio station, you can see a different kind of organizing. So, the final thing I wanna say is that KYAC was a stimulator for a lot of other kinds of Black media. We can't forget Nate Long and what he did. We can't forget Ogden News on Como. We can't forget all of these television programs as well that elevated Black community news because we had a Black radio station. And I see my friend Lee Carter just popped up. So I'm gonna leave it there.
The gentle giant is also on the line, but we're going to go to Spencer Hayward before we go to Lee and to ask Dwayne Tyson, the gentle giant. So Spencer Hayward, number 24, go right ahead. You're up at the free throw line.
Yes, I'm at the free throw line. I'm wearing a Slick Watts shirt today, paying respect to him as well as to Don Dudley. I came into Seattle to fight my court case all the way to the Supreme Court. And in the process, I wanted to give back and be a part of the African-American community in Seattle, because that's just what I thought we should be doing as professional athletes. And so I got involved with KYEC, with Don Dudley, because he said we were running a little short on funds. And I said, contact my attorney here and get what you need. And he said, well, you know, why don't you come on the air and do a little broadcast? And I said, oh, of course I did. I would love to come over and do my jazz show, because I was doing a jazz show at the University of Detroit before I left to play professional basketball. So I came in and on Saturdays to do my jazz show and let the people know that we as professional athletes and just athletes, period, that we were conscious of what should take place in our community. And Eddie, you were there in the beginning when I first came to town. You were one of the first brothers with the big fro. I was like, hey, look at me, you know? Anyway, so it was just an awesome time for me and my family, who had moved up from Detroit over to Seattle. And it was just a great experience listening and being involved in the community. KYAC was a turning point for consciousness for that whole Sonic team, because we were like, on Saturdays, we were like, have Fred Brown, Slick Watts, all of the guys sitting in the studio. We were just playing music and talking and enjoying ourselves and being a part of the community, which was the cornerstone of everything, because we would also eat up at Gertrude People's place over on Union, I think it was. And when John Brisker came to town, he wanted to open up a nightclub there. So he opened up the Heritage House. So we were just conscious young guys in Seattle. And it was beautiful, because Portland Trailblazers players would come up during the summer and want to hang out in Seattle. It was just a beautiful thing. James Edwards, all those guys used to hang out at my place down on Lakeside. Yeah. Don Dudley. Yeah, man. He did it.
Can I just say that Spencer used to show up at the studio with all of his own music?
Own music, yeah.
He was the only DJ that was allowed to bring their own music from home.
Well, I can understand why. But
you know how that happened? When I signed the contract with the Sonics, Michael Haddiff, who Al Haddiff's on the racetrack out there, and he was a distributor. So I ordered every Impulse, every Blue Note, every jazz album that was made. I ordered it. And when Kareem saw what I had did, he ordered the whole set and doubled the set. So we had all of this music. So we just walked in. I walked in with my sounds underneath my arm. Let's go. Thank you, baby, for reminding me.
Okay, we want to go to another veteran, Lee Carter, who was at KYAC. I think he has a story to tell. So Lee Carter, why don't you go right ahead?
My experience with KYAC was only about 3 years. But
three good years
here to remember Don Dudley. Don Dudley, I knew him a few years before KYAC. And I was reintroduced to Don Dudley by Belcher Johnson some couple of years after we had met. But take it to KYAC, amplify on what Vivian said. Few people realize that this was the first talk show ever was on KYAC. That was the first talk show ever. And you have to understand too how those kinds of shows across the country reverberated and has had an effect to this day, because Dr. King, the way he got his message out was through Black radio. He would show up in a town and the Black radio say, well, hey, Martin Luther King was in town, let's bring him in and talk in the studio. That's how it began to work. It was Black radio. And at the time we had Universal Connections. At the time, one Black radio station could sell their story to the Associated Press to another station. I can remember hearing my stories on KYAC reverberate all the way to New York. They were airing KYAC stories in New York. I can remember a story that the late Roberto Maestas told me, stopped by the house one day and told me how that he was in New York raising money for El Centro de la Raza project that Eddie was aware of, involved in. And so he was sitting there talking to the administrator who was asking for money, and said on the radio, his story came from KYAC, sitting there in the office of this administrator. I was telling the story about what was happening at El Centro de la Raza, and this was in New York. So he came back to Seattle to say, man, how proud he was to hear that story sitting there in the office while he was begging for money to keep the project going. And he got the money, to say the least. But that influence of Black radio was taken into account by what we would call the conservative movement today. And it was that idea of radio impacting the community as Black radio did, that is what's caused conservative media to exist today. They own every show that there is, practically, because they learned their lessons from the African-American community and how to communicate on a vast scale. And that helped create what we call today, what I call today anyway, the African-American Nation. We are the first, what I call, because of communications, we're the first national people in America. I'll leave it.
Okay, thanks, Lee, appreciate that. We want to go to Dwayne Tyson. Yes.
Eddie, can I just embellish just a little bit, briefly? It's significant to the point that Lee just made when he and I became teammates and Vivian joined with us and Obi Tate and Karen Denard. We became affiliates with the then Mutual Black Network. And to further illustrate Lee's point, indeed, we fed news. This helped put us on the map. It was Don's vision that we plug in to the national network of communicators that were using the Black radio platforms at that time. And we formed the network. And true to the point that Lee just made, I wanted to embellish it because it hadn't happened prior to the vision and the organization and direction support that we received from Don to do it.
Okay, we need to take a break, but I want to go to Dwayne Tyson, the General Giant. There was a DJ in sales, did all kind of stuff around KYAC. So are you on the line with us, sir?
I am indeed, Eddie. Good afternoon, each and every one of you. Nice to hear your voices. I wish I could see your faces, but my Zoom connection is, my internet connection is not functioning right now. Yeah, I remember Don. Don was a major part of my life. He gave me the opportunity to take over for an ailing Robert Summarize, the all-nighter, they called it. And to correct Vivian, I was allowed to bring in my own albums from home. Eventually, my program was called Freeform. And if I'm not mistaken, I led it into Spencer's show. I think it was a Sunday night, as I recall, Greg Collins, Mr. Sunday, my program, Freeform, and then Spencer would come in with Garfield Hurd, Freddie Brown, Slick, and that made the Sunday afternoons in Seattle special. One thing I admired about Don, foremost and beyond all else, was his care for his parents. He honored his parents, Mom and Pop Dudley, and he loved his daughter, Michelle. And he was a go-getter. He taught me how to get out there and function in the real world, the world of sales from which he had come. When I came back from Vietnam, there were two people that impressed me the most in Seattle, and that was Lloyd Jones at Como and Don Dudley at KYAC. For those that don't know, Lloyd rest in peace, Quincy's younger brother. Anyway, Don allowed me to do my thing on radio, and he eventually introduced me to a fellow by the name of Chico Rodriguez. Before there was a Chico and the Man television series, there was a Chico and the Man and Chico Rodriguez and Don Dudley. Chico was in sales, and he wore nice outfits, band lines, drove a nice car, and it was something I aspired to do in radio. Well, Don noticed this, and he introduced me to his uncle, Frank, the godfather, Frank Dudley. After Chico's untimely passing, Frank took over the sales department, and Don told me, why don't you hang around with Frank? That was the demise of my radio years because I locked into sales, and I didn't look back. I stayed at KYAC from 1972 through 1983. But I was on the air with Classic Hairstyles Incorporated, South Central Realty, doing their commercials for years until the demise of South Central Realty, and Eddie, you brought the coffin and gave KYAC a proper burial. I think it was 1986. I could be wrong on the date, but
It was Don, 1981.
Was it
81?
81. Well, we still functioned through 84.
No, it went to K-Fox.
It went to K-Fox. Well, I was doing commercials. I was doing promotions and advertising.
Okay.
So I had lost contact with I had went to work for my advertisers. Like I said, Classic Hairstyles, Johnny Guillory, South Central Realty, Columbia City.
You were definitely in sales. Look, we need to take a break, but we come back, we'll have about 20 more minutes. So we want to make sure that you are aware of that, and we'll have probably about 4 minutes for each person or however we want to handle it. So, Eric, let's take this break and come back shortly.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Why sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic when you can hop on Link Light Rail and fly by the gridlock? It's a smoother, easier, stress-free way to get where you want to go. Whether you're heading north to Capitol Hill and the University of Washington or south to Columbia City, Tukwila, and the airport, Link Light Rail will get you there quickly and safely. And if you have an ORCA card, even better. Just tap on the yellow card reader when you get on and listen for the beep to let you know your card has been accepted. Then tap your card reader again once you've reached your destination and listen for the double beep to let you know you've tapped off correctly. To find the closest Link Light Rail station or to learn how to get an ORCA card, just go to soundtransit.org and type Link Light Rail into the search bar. Sound Transit's Link Light Rail. Just another way that Sound Transit is powering progress.
Walking your talk? Take us with you. The KKNW app makes streaming our programming easy on your phone or tablet.
Now, Eddie Rye back at Urban Forum Northwest with Spencer Haywood, Belcher Johnson, Jesse Weinberry, Isaac Alexander, Lee Carter, and Vivian Phillips. And we have Steve Dwayne Tyson on the phone. We're going to go back. Lee Carter wanted to pick up on a comment that was just made. So go right ahead, Lee.
I wanted to say what, when you talk about Don Dudley and his diligence and his will and his ambition. I first met Don Dudley in 1968. He was working as a transportation for Northwest Airlines in the lost and found department at SeaTac Airport. I was working for SeaTac Airport, Chicago, and just transferred from there to SeaTac. And the first person who met me at the door, there were two people who met me as I got off the plane, was Billy Burns and Don Dudley. And I was on the counter selling tickets, and Don Dudley, he wanted to work in Lost and Found because it gave him a chance to study, because he was going to management school at the University of Washington. There and I would walk in, he'd be reading his books, and, but shortly afterwards, it was only about, we developed a friendship then, but a few months later, I left to pursue other opportunities, and we didn't make contact again until one day I was at Ski Op. That was where you go to if you need a job. So obviously the opportunities that I went to pursue didn't work out. And I was at Ski Op looking for ways to get a job. And a person by the name, somebody pointed out to me, hey, there is Belcher Johnson. And Belcher Johnson, And I had heard him on the radio on KYC. Well, okay, yeah. I walked over and introduced myself to him because I had some radio experience. I was a writer in the military. I'd been around the world in a couple of times, and I felt that I could make contributions to the news department there. And he said, why don't you come and meet my the owner, the boss, at the station? The next day, I showed up at the station. It was over on 3rd Avenue. And he introduced me to his boss, and there he was. Don Dudley.
We're going to have to give somebody else. So who's next?
Billy, if I could.
Go ahead.
That example that Lee just shared with us, that personal example, is part of who Don was. He was a magnet. And part of the transition from 1407 East Madison was based on his ability to attract investors as limited partners in our business enterprises. That opened the door to a number of different, not so much innovations, but creative activity, where we became more of a service to the community. We became profitable. We were able to attract a different and additional personnel. Spencer wouldn't have come to us if we weren't doing what we were doing. Mr. Tyson wouldn't have joined us. We couldn't have maintained audience and outreach if indeed
we hadn't had this vision and a solid rock of operations. It's just part of the magnetism that was Don Dudley, his vision for where he wanted to go with this business enterprise, and for all of us to have an opportunity within that to successfully launch and sustain careers.
Wow. Very well said. We have about 8 minutes left, so I want to see if Jesse Weinberry has another comment, if he's still there.
I'm still here, and I'm learning so much. It's really, this is a great show for anyone who wants to learn real Seattle history, particularly where KYC and Don Dudley is concerned. I just want to add an element that, at least from my generation, I mean, you already pointed out, I got a talk show at 18 years old. I worked my way through college, but what kept us on the map, in from my perspective at that time, was the music. Before KYC, a lot of artists would go on tours at the United, all throughout the United States, but somehow they wouldn't stop in Seattle before there was a strong Black radio station. Don didn't just have an AM station. At a point, KYC became AM and FM, both under Black ownership. And that meant Jackson 5 came to Seattle. James Brown came to Seattle. Veltri Johnson actually introduced me to the godfather of soul down at James Brown, down at the Seattle Arena. The Jackson 5 were at the Coliseum. Never forget my senior year of high school. And so when you talk about the artists in terms of Motown, in terms of the Temps, the Temptations, the Supremes, I mean, Rick James, I mean, it just went on and on and on. The Brothers Johnson, that began to not just increase our culture with Black music, but it also increased the awareness of the rest of the United States that Black people were all over and under that space needle that they saw. And because these artists were raving about Seattle, and KYC was the magnet, and that magnet would not have existed for those artists and for our community if it had not been for Don Dudley making the ultimate sacrifice.
Vivian Phillips.
Don owned the District Tavern at one time, which also housed, he was committed to local artists as well. He gave them a venue, and he also owned Ruby Chow's restaurant.
Dudley Chow.
Go get her.
The only Black-owned Chinese restaurant. Right. Except for the one on Rush Hour. Vivian.
Well, I think that the tribute that I would like to pay to Don Dudley is one that's much more connected to my spirit. And that is, had it not been for Don Dudley, there would not be this class of family. This extended family that I think I have benefited from for the entire time from 1971 when I first walked in the doors and Frank P. Barrow said, yeah, go out there and count people or something like that, you know, to this day. And I feel so honored for having had the opportunity to connect with all of you, with all of the people who are deceased and made a contribution, and for what it really, really means to have Black radio and community. KYAC will forever be legendary in the hearts and minds of the people. And every time I see someone today and they say, oh, you're that Vivian Phillips from radio? And I'm like, how dare you? And how could you possibly remember that far back? But it is a testament to the incredible impact that this communications vehicle has had on the Black community locally, and we are spread out across the nation as well. So that for me is the biggest tribute and the biggest connection that I feel and will forever feel to Don Dudley.
This program will be up on my website for a year. The podcast will be up on Alexa, I think 2 hours after the program for the rest of the week. So I just want to let you know. And so it will also be archived on my website.
Thank you. Lee, and then, I appreciate it.
Okay, we got 3 minutes.
Well, I'll take it.
I was going to amplify, if I may, what Vivian was saying, but the impact has not been just on the African-American community. I can tell you the impact this has had on the European-American community. I still run into people at the Senior Citizen Center here in the area who are European-American. Tell me how much they love, how much they remember KYAC, the impact that they had on them personally. And so it goes beyond just the culture of African America, it's the European American.
Can okay. I say Spencer, one last
go ahead, thing? Spencer. Now, Spencer got, he has this word. We got 2 minutes left. Go ahead, Spencer.
Okay. You guys was talking about rock and roll and soul music coming to Seattle under Don Dudley's tutelage. We also had Miles Davis come to town at Paramount Northwest. We had Eddie Harris and Les McCann drop in. We had a number of jazz cats that fell through, and they passed the word on, because when I went to the Knicks, all of the people in New York was telling me about, hey man, should I go up to Seattle and play? Even Pharoah Sanders, I was like, wow, you played in Seattle when you had John Coltrane in that live album they did in Live in Seattle. So thank you, Don Dudley, for the music. Thank you for your entrepreneurship to keep Black music, but it was not only Black music, as one of the other guests was talking about. It's all over. It was all over the state of Washington. It was a beautiful, beautiful journey. And I just thank you all for letting me be a part of that, because I'm a basketball player.
Okay, now Tyson, you got about 1 minute, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say real quickly, picking up on Spencer's comments about jazz in Seattle and the music scene, I don't know who coined the phrase, but it was part of KYAC, Kayak, as it was affectionately known as in some circles. Music was the message.
Yeah.
And Seattle was the soul of the Northwest.
You got that right. Well, I want to thank Hollywood Ike for joining us, Vivian Phillips, Spencer Haywood, Lee Carter, Belty Johnson, Steve Dwayne Tyson. Jesse, I want to thank all you guys for this thing. I want to let you know that Don Dudley's funeral service will be Saturday, May 21st at 11 o'clock at the Holgate Street Church of Christ. Let other people know that the NAACP and the Martin Luther King Commemoration Committee is sponsoring a cleanup of the Martin Luther King Civil Rights Memorial Park from 10 to 2. So thank you all very much. Eric, we'll take this break and come back with Reverend Harriet, who is one of the organizers of in solidarity with the Buffalo victims event that'll be from 2 to 5 at the Martin Luther King Memorial Park on Saturday as well. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to
the
break.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the Port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.com. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Why sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic when you can hop on Link Light Rail and fly by the gridlock? It's a smoother, easier, stress-free way to get where you want to go. Whether you're heading north to Capitol Hill and the University of Washington, or south to Columbia City, Tukwila, and the airport, Link Light Rail will get you there quickly and safely. And if you have an ORCA card, even better. Just tap on the yellow card reader when you get on and listen for the beep to let you know your card has been accepted.
Then tap your card reader again once you've reached your destination and listen for the double beep to let you know you've tapped off correctly. To find the closest Link Light Rail station or to learn how to get an ORCA card, just go to soundtransit.org and type Link Light Rail into the search bar. Sound Transit's Link Light Rail. Just another way that Sound Transit is powering progress.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk 1150.
Eddie Rye back at Urban Forum Northwest with my next guest, Reverend Harriet Walden, who's one of the organizers of the Solidarity with the Victims in Buffalo event on Saturday, which will be at 2 o'clock at the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, Civil Rights Memorial Park. And Heywood Evans tells me, Reverend Harriet, that everything is set up for you. So why don't you share with our listeners exactly what's going to be happening?
Well, what we're doing is calling a solidarity in Seattle for the victims of the massacre in Buffalo. We'll be calling their names. We're asking people to show up in solidarity. Also, we'll do some speak out about the violence that the war against Black people in America. I mean, they talk about the war in Ukraine, but there's a war against us, and it's been a long-going standing war. And also, the other reason why we're speaking out and wanting to do this is because the silence around this with the young people is deafening compared to it was when George Floyd untimely murder, and rightfully so. But it seems like there's a disconnect, and these Black lives don't matter. So we're calling to attention that these Black lives, who mainly was elderly people, except for a few exceptions there. We had the young lady that was 32 and a few people that was in their 50s, but these were elderly people that had done a lifetime of work, and those lives matter. I mean, really and truly. And it seems that it seems like there's silence around this from people who ordinarily would be speaking up. I mean, if the police had killed 10 people in Buffalo, I mean, our so-called allies would be breaking up more windows down Seattle in the name of Black Lives Matter. And we're saying that these Black Lives Matter. Of course they do. And also, we're looking at we got the systemic racism all over America. But to think about one grocery store for 100,000 people, that's like a whole East Precinct sector. That's the whole East Precinct sector. Can you imagine one grocery store in Seattle in the East Precinct sector? It'd be from Mount Lake to Massachusetts, from down to the lake up to the National District and parts of Beacon Hill. Hmm.
That's huge. Now, in terms of the actual event tomorrow, it starts at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, on Saturday, it starts at 2 o'clock,
Can you talk a little bit about what's going to be happening? Are there going to be any singing, praying?
Well, you'll be reaching out to people, trying to get people there. We have the ACLU is coming. I've put a call into the Native American community. And I just reaching out to Diane Narasaki to see who we can get from the Japanese legal defense fund to come. We're still basically trying to get the program together. I will call Ms. Josephine Howard and see if she has any time to stop by. You know, her Saturdays are always booked, but I'll be giving her a call this afternoon.
And then I'm sure that the people that will be leaving Don Dudley's funeral, which was right down the street from the park, at Holgate Street Church of Christ, I'm certain that a lot of people will be stopping by after that.
And also,
it's supposed to be 67 degrees on Saturday. So
yeah, it might be a lot of people out.
Yeah, so it's about time. And it's an outdoor activity, which I like, because I'm afraid now with this COVID going back up, it's not going down, it's starting to go back up. And I think too many people are taking chances, but each to their own. I'm just going to try to take care of myself because I'm too old to be going through any more trials or tribulations with my health here.
Yeah. Well, we're just trying to do our best to at least call attention to it. And, I'm hoping that other people will follow suit and just kind of continue to stand up. There's a silence in America right now that's kind of deafening around this, just like it was also around the Mother Emanuel Church. Because Reverend Kara Anderson opened the church and we went there and had a big turnout in the church. But it seems as if that we just go back to sleep on some of these big issues. And this young man, absolutely, at 18 years old, he's been programmed, I mean, to dislike us that much, and the replacement. I mean, it's like, wow, all of this rhetoric and all this stuff. They've had 40 years to do this, started with Reagan and Rush Limbaugh. So they've had 40 years to come up with their narrative, and we haven't pushed back hard enough. So this narrative is not true. And none of the things they have to say is true, but somehow young people believe it. And they're armed. I mean, that's just it.
Yeah, they're armed. It's really unfortunate because we have Black men and women in the U.S. military all around the world. And I know if some of those natives of those other countries ask them, you know, why are you over here? You can't even vote at home. Your people can't even vote. You know, so I think at some point in time, we're going to have to start, you know, demanding some things. I mean,
I think we should be calling President Biden and asking what he's going to do about the war against non-white people in America. I mean, what he's going to do about that war. Unfortunately, our guys who are in the service serving abroad, they might be another breed. And I don't know if they'll stand up or not. I mean, it seems that most of the standing up is done by people over 50 now.
Well, the Black Lives Matter and Legally Black, I know over in, because I'm a member of the Tacoma Pierce County Black Collective, and the young Black folks over in Tacoma and Pierce County are very active. There's a young sister that is a founder of Legally Black, and they show up. And if
well, maybe Christ I should reach victim, out to them, and maybe I should try to
her
reach
name
out
is
to them
Tisha kids. Marie. There was an incident where some racist graffiti was painted on a Black lady's garage, and they went out and had a rally and a press conference to denounce the racism. And so this is a very young group of folks. And then also in the Tacoma Pierce County Black Collective, there's a significant number of younger folks who are involved and doing tremendous things. So.
Well, yeah, I used to go down there often. I haven't been down there in a while, but I'll reach out. I'll reach when you get off the air. I'll reach out to you to get her information and to see if I can invite them to come up on Saturday. If they're not doing anything in the Tacoma, they might come up on Saturday.
Yeah, that might be a very good idea. I would make sure that you get her information. Mm-hmm. And then Lyle Kwasim also has all the information. Well, Reverend Harriet, I really want to thank you for all the work you're doing. I'm going to Don Dudley's funeral tomorrow. But I will come by after the funeral to participate in a very worthwhile endeavor to draw attention to the senseless act of violence and to stand with the victims and solidarity of the victims in Buffalo. So thank you very much.
And thank you for coming by on Saturday. All right. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Once again, Don Dudley's funeral service will be at the Holgate Street Church of Christ at Holgate and Martin Luther King Jr. Way South. And also the NAACP and the Martin Luther King Commemoration Committee are collaborating to do a cleanup of the Martin Luther King Civil Rights Memorial Park. I want to thank Jonte Robinson from Sound Transit, Office of Civil Rights, Diversity and Inclusion, and Kent Keel, the chair of the Sound Transit Board, Liz Alzir, director of the City of Seattle's Purchasing and Construction Services Office, and me and Rice with the Port of Seattle's Diversity Contracting Office down there with Lawrence Coleman and Josie Reagan. I want to thank you guys and want to also thank my guest today, former KYACers, Velchie Johnson, who ended up being the news director and station manager, Vivian Phillips, one of the first ladies to host a midday radio program, Jesse Weinberry, who was a talk show host at 18, hired by Don Dudley, Senior Queen Anne Hill. That's when I started my talk show too, when the company, the KYAC was on Queen Anne Hill. Dwayne Tyson, Lee Carter, and I just heard from Reverend Harriet Walden. Thank you, Eric, and have a good weekend.